In Galatians chapter 5, we see a great contrast. And it's the contrast that I was attempting to explain or talk to a person about this week, because when I said spiritual man, natural man, is that I don't even know what that means. And it's hard to really put it into words, but Galatians chapter 5 sort of does so. And the series I'm entitling The Character Infusion. Now, when we get to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you'll notice 9 pieces of the fruit of the Spirit and 7 weeks in this series. It's not that I'm not for kindness or peace. It's that they will be folded into something else. But other than that, you're going to see the love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. So let's talk about this fruit of the Spirit. Let's talk about the natural man and the spiritual man. If you look at verse 13, Paul writes, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." Right there is a significant thing, to be free. We've just come through the Christmas season. One of my favorite stories I like to see put to movie is A Christmas Carol. And you know that Ebenezer Scrooge is there, and he wakes up in a dream, and he sees who? He sees Bob Marley. Is it Bob Marley? I think that's his first name. But Marley, who had been dead 7 years, and Marley walks in with chains on him. The chains of money, the chains of time, all the things that he had in life that kept him from being free were chained, and Ebenezer got to see this depiction. So I think when you see this, we're called to be set free from chains. So let's read on. "But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." That sounds so easy. It sounds, you know, if that's it, if I can do that and keep the law. But in order to do that, there must be a killing of self-interest. There must be a slaying of pride and all sorts of things that goes with that. So it's very difficult to do in the natural man especially. Verse 15, "If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not able to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious." And he put a colon here and listed a bunch of them. "Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Finally, this verse 24. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying each other." Now, we had a discussion some months ago on what it means to be a saint. And being a saint is not something you achieve, it's something you become because of the grace of God. To become a spiritual person is not something you achieve, it's something you become because of the grace of God and God's working in your life. I don't become love, joy, peace, and the rest by setting out to achieve being a loving, joyful, peaceful person. I get this by the infusion of the Spirit of God. At the same time, I have to work on these things. I just know that I can't achieve them in my natural self. You see, I'm a bad boy. Yeah. In my heart, I'm bad. I have a natural the heart that really wants to sin. It wants to cheat. It wants to do the wrong stuff. All those things listed there, I may not want to do them all. Well, maybe it's because I'm too old now to do some of these. But, you know, I have it in my heart to do that. Because, you know, that's really the way I want to slide in life. And it takes a complete change of direction, one I cannot achieve, but God can achieve in me to become a spiritual person. So let's talk about the fruit for a minute, and then we'll get to the specific piece of this fruit called love. So we can't create fruit on our own. Verse 17 reminds us of our sinful nature. Now, I want to say something else about this discussion I had with this fellow earlier this week, because someone else chimed in. And he said, well, you know, it really wasn't that Jesus was saying, if you look upon a person with lust, you have adultery, you've already committed adultery. He was just showing how that there is no way we can keep the law, so therefore we have grace, and that is true. But I want to tell you something. The power of the Spirit gives us the opportunity to change our nature so that we don't look upon people with lust in our hearts and so forth. So realize that we have the spirit desire and the fleshly desire. And we're not just talking about taming the flesh. We're talking about killing the flesh and these desires. A second thing, the fruit of the Spirit is a package deal. You notice that verse 22 uses the word fruit and not fruits. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you. Talking about, you know, needing to confess maybe. I've had more sugar the past 14 to 21 days than I've had the rest of the year combined. And all of a sudden it floated in. I have bags of peanut M&Ms. And you know I am with bags of peanut. Now, fortunately, we did not stock up on Cherry Coke, which is the second killer. But, you know, what I do is I get a handful. I go by and say, just one more handful. One more handful. And I've had Divinity, and I've had fudge, and I've had everything. And I told somebody yesterday, I am ready to quit sugar for a while. Do you ever get that point? You know, move it. You know, we cook the Christmas decorations down. Nobody wants to do it, but wants to do it. Let's clean the place up. So when you think about this fruit, it's not an array of different fruits to achieve. It is fruit like we think about the vine, a cluster of grapes. It's not a cookie here and a cookie there. It is a cluster of fruit. A third thing, you know, the focus is on Christian character. Because these fruits, that's what they are. They're Christian character. That is what the spiritual man is made of. Not sugar and spice and everything nice, but love, joy, peace, and so on. Another thing, number four, the fruit must be displayed both individually and collectively. There are times when you see my patience, but you know, you're not seeing just you might not see the entire cluster of fruit at a time. You see patience. A few minutes ago, I got somebody asked, are you having patience? I'm like, yeah, I'm having patience. We have this discussion in our house all the time. What does it mean to be patient? We'll get into it today. We'll wait a couple weeks for that. Number five, not all fruit ripens at the same time. It's okay. Where you are today is okay. Now, I don't mean that, you know, that you can rest here. But where you are is where you are. I look at these pieces of this cluster of fruit, and there are some of these issues, some of these pieces of the character that I feel much more comfortable with in my walk with the Lord than others. Anybody else like that? You know, as I look at that list, there's a couple of things. Why do we put that in there? You know. Number six here, the fruit of the Spirit should be the result of living the normal Christian life. Let's don't buy into the lie that we have to be under the foot of Satan. We can be set free so that the natural way we now live is love, joy, peace. When we do the other things listed, it seems unnatural. Before we're saved, when we start to really have a lack of self-interest, that is unnatural. Now, when we have selfishness, it is unnatural. Bearing fruit is both a gift and a task. So now that we've talked about the fruit, let's look at this specific fruit, love. Now you notice in Galatians, even there, he mentioned love. We read those verses. Love, you know, if you can, love overarches everything. Jacob read the great passage, 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, I love that passage. But at the very end, it says, now abide faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? Love. And I call it the indispensable quality because it's the only quality mentioned that will last both from this life to the next. You know, faith I have now, but faith I will not need in heaven. Hope I have now, but hope I will not need in heaven because it will be realized. But I have both love here and I'll have love in heaven. So this transforming love we see, and I want to mention a couple things about this. We need to, first of all, make love a top priority. You see the verses there in 1 Corinthians 13, and they're tremendous verses. They just really knock your socks off. Beautiful poetry. And, you know, in chapter 12 and in chapter 14, he's talking about spiritual gifts. So he, you know, sticks this love chapter in there. But he talks about it being a top priority. Though I might speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I don't have love, I really have nothing. I might sing well, but if I don't have love, I have nothing. I might preach well, but if I don't have love, I have nothing. Now, I want to say something, and I'm going to step out here and be a little fire and brimstone-ish. And you know me, not that way at all. Some of us do not have the honor and the courage and the fortitude to really live love. Some of us talk about love, but we don't do it. We talk about having love as a priority. We get in here and we sing about love, but we do not step out and love people as Christ loved us. Now, you know, why do I say that? And I look at my own life at times. I sometimes enjoy preaching about Christ to God's people more than I do loving God's people. I'm going to tell you about a guy in a minute, and it's not a name you'll recognize. And he basically lived his life, and it was known about this guy. If you kicked him, if you said bad things about him, he would love you even more. And wouldn't that be great if that were true about us? We see words like knowledge in here. You know, some people try to reason their way out of family problems. Some people try to, you know, take formulas and apply. And you can take formulas and apply to life, and that's good, but it's not long-lasting. If you have the undergirding of love, it will supersede the formulas. Sometimes Christy and I, we come to agreements on things. And we might get to an agreement even though we're not really in agreement. We just decide to agree. Well, I want to tell you, those deciding to agree times are undergirded with love. Because I really care about her. There's faith. There's service. In verse 3, we see service and sacrifice. I'm reminding that when Jesus talked and he said, you know, these two great commandments, love the Lord with all your heart and your mind and your soul, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So I think about the transformation that needs to happen in my life so that I love people who are not easy to love. You see, it's easy for me to love y'all. Y'all are good to me. We're nice. We have great fellowship. I got to tell you, there's a few people in my life that it's not easy to love. And the natural Andy would say, no way, Jose, the line has been drawn. You've stepped over the line 10 times, and I'm not going to allow it again. But the spirit Andy says, again, I continue to love you. Love is, as we see in the second thing, we have to have barriers removed if we're really going to love. Look at what it says, starting with verse 4. Love suffers long, or maybe we could put that, love is patient. It is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself around. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. Hear that one. but rejoices in truth and bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I think about these barriers that we have in life. Satan is so crafty. And he puts these great barriers in life because he influences us in so many ways. I have watched so much television over the last, I'm like a zombie with football and movies and everything. And I got to tell you, there are certain car commercials that I've seen 542 times. And I'm sick of them. And every time that one commercial comes on, I can't remember which one, but it has Dean Martin singing. And I start singing the Dean Martin song. And finally the family says, would you quit singing the Dean Martin song? You're not Dean Martin. Let him sing it, but not you, you know. But I think about these barriers. And I think about how we sometimes allow things to come into life like a commercial. And they just become there. And look at what it says here. Love does things and it does not do other things. It is kind, it is patient, but it is not jealous. It does not act unbecomingly. Oh, that's tough for me sometimes because sometimes my barbs and sarcasm and so forth, I want to get right out there. And sometimes it's kidding and sometimes it's not. But there is a character of love that I should have in my heart that it becomes something other than an unbecoming nature. It is not envious. It does not boast. And it's not boasting in, hey, I did a great job on cutting the grass or whatever. It's boasting in our position in the spiritual world. You know, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. Remember that? The Pharisee? I'm glad I'm not like that. Sometimes I walk around and I read things in the newspaper and I button my jacket and the button pops off because I say, I'm not glad I'm not like those lost people. That's boasting. What about pride? Puffed up to inflate ourselves. I tell you what, like a bag of hot air, no substance, a lot of fluff. And some of us, some of me at times, you get so prideful, so puffed up, like I've saved myself, like I feel myself. And when you have pride, you are indeed filling yourself. And the Spirit of God is not filling you. What about being rude or self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs? I want to tell you, what does it say about our sins when we're forgiven?
They're removed as far as the east from the west.
God does what? They're removed and God remembers them no more. Now, God can remember them, but they are set aside. He remembers them no more. Isn't it a crying shame that God Almighty can do that for us, but we can't do that for other people? We should be able to not keep a record of wrongs and not delight in evil. A third thing, we need to apply the principles of love. Now, there's some great love passages. I've just mentioned one this morning. But I'd like for you to think about love. And one of the reasons I want to list these sermons out is I'd like for you to do an experiment. On Sunday, we'll talk about a topic, and I'd like for you to take Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and reflect on that topic. Today's topic, obviously, is love. Pray about it, meditate, read on it, you know, just and all that kind of stuff. And then on Thursday, look at the next topic and start preparing for Sunday on that. Next week will be joy. And you can start preparing for that, then reflect on it for the next few days. So over the next 3 days, I'd like for you to think intently about love. Not love from a song, but the love of God. In verses 7 and 8, I want you to hear this and hear it clearly. He says here, he bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then verse 8 says this, love never fails. Now, you know, there are not many absolutes in life. There are not many 100%. I heard somebody on the radio this morning said, you know, the mortality rate among human beings is still 100%. I said, well, no, it's really 99.99999 because we know two guys, we don't think they died, they were just taken. Nothing is really absolute sometimes. But love never fails. You can never fail with love. Where there are prophecies, they will fail because you got imperfect people giving the prophecies. Sometimes they slight the truth. Sometimes they don't tell the whole truth. Where there are tongues, they will cease. where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For now we know in part, prophesy in part, but then we will know and we will see face to face. And so I encourage you to apply the principles of love not only in your families but in the world around you, and rejoice in truth and know that love is supreme. Now, I want to leave you with some takeaways. And love does not happen overnight. It is something that, you know, John Wesley talked a lot about love, perfect love, casting out sin in our hearts, casting out a sinful nature, unrooting, taking, you know, weeding out the garden of our selfishness sometimes in life. And I want you to think about how you need to weed your garden. Things that keep love from being the fruit that it needs to be. But I want to mention some things for you to take with you. Number one, love those who are close to us. Now, by that, I mean that it is easy at times to love people at a distance. It is real easy sometimes to love people from afar. But sometimes it's more difficult to love the people right around us. Love those closest to you. Some of us have some relationships and families that probably need to be mended in this area. Number two, love those who are different from you. Now, that's really difficult. See, I think everyone would be like me. Is the world gone mad? You know, can't they be like me? And you might be looking at me and say, I am so glad, you know, that I'm not like that. You know, we can take, and isn't it great that the family of God is like a cluster of fruit? And we can be different. We can have hogs over here, hog being a Harley guy, right? And we can have ladies who go to the garden club over there. And we can have people who like country music, people who like rock music, people who like no music. And those of us who can't carry, and we can put all these people together, and it can be beautiful because it's the family of God. Just like in our own families. I mean, if we could get Benjamin to eat fish, our whole, you know, the way we do meals around the house would change. He won't eat fish, you know? And the way we approach things is completely different. I won't belabor that. Now, number three, love those who disagree with us. Now, it may be over a point of biblical doctrine. It may be over politics. It could be over sports. It could be over how you dress. It could be over all sorts of things. Love those who disagree with you. Number four, love those who irritate you. Oh, yeah. It's hard sometimes, man. Sometimes it really gets difficult. Now, the guy's name I was telling you about a while ago, he was the Archbishop Cranmer. And he's been dead now, but it was said of him that if you did him a disfavor, you had a friend for life. It is said of him, before he was martyred, he made a very surprising statement. And the statement was this: I've never had greater pleasure in all my life than to forget and forgive injuries and to show kindness to them who sought evil to me. Now that is somebody who got the infusion of love. It reminds me of someone else who hung on a cross, and he looked down at people a lot like you and a lot like me, caught up into the emotion of it all, doing their duty for some, but he looked at them and said, Father, forgive them for this act, because they don't even know what they're doing. We can confess our lack of love. Maybe we need to focus on God's love for us and see that we, you know, should love others. Maybe we need to identify someone that is hard to love and pray, and, you know, pray for that person at least. We need to learn to treat people in loving ways. But most of all, we need to have the infusion of a spirit breathe God love in our life that cannot be explained apart from the Lord. Malin Falcons talked about being in prison. And there was a friend of ours who's gone now, Ed O'Toole, would go to Kilby Prison to see Malan. And Malan did all sorts of stuff. One time he got a rifle and he shot out one of the stained glass windows at the Woodlawn United Methodist Church. And in those days, they cost thousands of dollars. And they had paid for the window. How can you not love somebody who continues to love you like that? I'll say this. How can you not love your Savior who continues to love you like that? And how can you not love the people around you when the Savior continues to love you like that? Let us love. Before we learn how to do money, before we work on our marriage, before we talk about relationships, let's have the love of God infused in our hearts. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to read this in closing. Amy Carmichael wrote it. It's called If. If I belittle those who am called to serve, talk of their weak points in contrast perhaps with what I think are my strong points, if I adopt superior attitudes, then I know nothing of the love of Calvary. If I take offense easily, if I'm content to continue in cool unfriendliness, though friendship be possible, then I know nothing of the love of Calvary. If I feel bitterly toward those who condemn me, forgetting that if they knew me as I know myself, they would condemn me much more, then I know nothing of the love of Calvary. Let's pray together. Father, help us to know the love of Calvary because of the infusion of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I pray that each one of us here, as we are partaking of this prayer, would open our minds and our hearts and invite you to come in fully in our lives. Help us, Lord, to have the fruit of the Spirit as a cluster, but specifically, Lord, as we think about this one piece of the fruit, love, help us to have the love of Jesus residing in our hearts because of a supernatural infusion. Father, I pray that once that infusion takes place, that we try to do all we can to foster its growth. Help us to love like you. Amen and amen. Let's stand together and sing this closing hymn, The Steadfast Love of the Lord. Goodness and grace and mercy will go through with you, and may the powers of his resurrection live in your hearts. Lord, help these wonderful men and women to leave this place infused with your love. Amen and amen.